What up, people? Welcome back. This is the 360 Places podcast, and we're blessed today in the house with a young, beautiful, black little mama. All the way from UG, Tracy, what's up?
Hi, thank you for having me here today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I think I did a little bit of an introduction, though it wasn't proper. You want to, like, you know, tell us about yourself, your name, you know, just a little bit about yourself then before we get right into it.
Okay. My name's Tracy Namgenyi. That's my my local name. It's a Uganda name. So, yeah. But people call me Tracy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you guys normally have, like, three names.
Yeah, I have actually three names. I've just decided not to say them. Four names: Trasila, Eugenia, Namgin.
Trasila, Eugenia.
Trasila.
Trasila.
Yes.
Oh, Eugenia. Your full name is Trasila.
Yeah.
How did you know that?
It's an official name, basically. So.
Trasila.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Trasila is, to me, it sounds better than Tracy.
Yeah, I have people that actually call me Trasila.
Trasila.
Yeah, I don't usually tell people I'm called Trasila. Trace is just a shortcut. It's a friendly name.
But it's better when, you know, when you're in a hurry and you just want to shout out your name. I'm not going to say Trasila. Wah? That's long, mate. Yeah. Tracy, just one Tracy. Time. Yeah, yeah.
Trace is okay.
Trace is okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you're basically from UG?
Yes, I am.
All right. So in this podcast, we are going to be talking about, wow, I just said in this podcast. In this episode, we are going to talk about Uganda and her life abroad, her life, Tracy, abroad.
Mm-hmm.
So let's begin. What brought you to Kenya?
Well,
and why Kenya? Well, you answer that, yeah.
Well, my parents wanted me to come to Kenya, specifically my dad. So
yeah.
He was here, he studied here, he worked here.
And in Kenya?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he liked the experience. So I guess he also wanted that experience for me. I didn't really think about Kenya as an option, though. So, and I was like, okay, it's cool to study from another country. Though I kind of got negative views on what Kenya is, of how Kenyans behave, the rude and all that. But then I got to experience it myself, and it's not all that.
It wasn't true what they said about Kenyans.
No, it wasn't. Though it's kind of, but then it depends on how you get
it. Was exaggerated when it was told to you.
Yes, exaggerating, I guess. Yeah. So just, you know, how people have the misconception of things about people.
Yeah.
So I just...
But what were those things? Just before, like, you got on, what are those things that you always told
about Kenyans?
Yeah.
I like the rude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mostly the rude and opportunists. That's what I got to hear.
Opportunists.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean, my bad? That sounds cheesy. I mean, I don't think it's old. I think you have a lot behind the opportunist. Like, there's a lot of words that you want to say, but because you want to, you like, do it politely.
Basically, that's what I was told. I'm just saying what I was told.
Yeah.
The opportunists and basically being rude. Because our cultures are different in Uganda. Specifically in my tribe, as we are called the Baganda. So
Baganda. Wow, Baganda. I have a lot of questions now.
Let's just say Abaganda.
That's Abaganda.
The right pronunciation.
Oh, it's Abaganda, not Baganda.
It's just let me say the English way of saying it, just for you to understand and grasp easily. So my tribe is a bit humble, a bit submissive, and what the way we do things, the way we interact with people, we are kind of so humble, you know, compared to Kenyans. So I guess Ugandans always think Kenyans are so rude, they're so bitter, they're so tough, which is true. But then you get to learn, you need to learn both sides of life. I mean, there's being good, but then you don't have to be too good. It's not advantageous or taking life softly. You kind of have to be tough, which is something I learned positive in Kenya. Like, you have to be tough. You have to be that
a
kind
go-getter.
Yeah, you have to be vigorous and actually fight for what you actually want if you want to achieve. I think it's kind of, it has a negative and a bad side, a negative side and a positive side. But then you get to know how to use those kind of things. So I guess I kind of learn. You have to learn how people are. You get to experience things for yourself than what actually people say about it. If they say Ugandans are this, go there and just see for yourself. Are they actually like this?
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy, because mostly people have a negative attitude or negative views about people. So I was mostly discouraged about coming. It's just my parents were the only people who didn't say anything negative about Kenya. And that's what actually made me hold on to that. I was like, I can do this. Yeah. I have to say, if, I mean, my parents wouldn't want something bad for me. There's a reason why they brought me to Kenya. Right. So I've not regretted coming to Kenya specifically as a country. Yeah.
You've never regretted, not a bit.
No, not really. Just the school, maybe, but then the country, no.
And the people, do you like basically love the country, you know, or do you love the people in the country? Because I feel like there's like a difference between the country and the people. Let me just break it down for you.
Okay.
When I say the country, this is how I'm defining it right now for you to get it. I'm talking about, you know, generally how, you know, the country looks, the weather, you know, just, you know, different features in the mountains and all that, the buildings, you know, the service, the traffic, just basically all that. And when I say the people, I mean basically the people, how they behave, the cultures, you know, how they treat you, you know, how they talk to you. So between the two, which one did you like literally get attracted to?
The country, mostly.
How it looks.
Mm-hmm. The country as in the economy. And then the people is that the people, I liked how they do some things. Yeah, compared to Uganda. They're timekeepers compared to Uganda. They are fast. In Uganda, we are a bit, we drag, which is not so good though.
There's a bit of a lag in Uganda.
Yeah, there's a bit of slowly. We take things, you know, at heart. We kind of take things for granted at times. Sometimes we don't take life seriously. You know, we're a bit unserious compared to Kenyans. So in Kenya, it gives you that seriousness and being quick and fast, keeping time. Yeah, that's what I loved. And then the country, I like the weather. I kind of prefer the cold weather to the hot weather. You know, in Uganda, it can get hot. It doesn't really get cold. It just gets rainy, which is annoying. But then it doesn't really get cold. But then I like the coldness because I really hate the sun, the heat, the uncomfortability. I think that's what even makes us a bit slow. You know, you can't do things really fast when in the sun. In the sun, it makes you a bit lazy and all that, the heat.
I'm not sure about that.
I generally mean
like, in TZ, see, you know, I said it called Dar es Salaam in TZ. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, like life. I think it's the fastest life you can have in Tanzania.
Really?
And it's very hot. It's Mombasa hot.
Ah.
And I don't think Kampala is Mombasa hot.
It is Mombasa hot. It can get
Mombasa hot. It can get, but Dar es Salaam, the norm is it's hot. Like it's always hot. Yeah.
Yeah.
But life is pretty fast.
Kampala can get hot, not all the time, but it can get really hot. I mean, just even a minute, you come into the house, even you can get literally blind. Like you come with, like the sun affects you so much in that you really feel it in your eyes when you come into the house. Just a step away, you can feel it. It can get hot though, but it's not always hot. It can get really hot. But then I feel like when in the cold weather, there's a way you tend to do things fast. You know, like let me say you're walking in cold, you know, you won't walk because, you know, the body wants to produce the heat. So you have to actually walk fast to produce that heat. It won't make you walk slowly. Compared to that, I'm not giving an excuse of how we can be drug and all that, but then I'm just trying to say like there's a difference when you're in the heat. It's just everything is just nagging. It's hot. You don't want to walk. You don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I think though. But then yeah, basically I like Kenya. It's a nice country though. They're really developing. They're among the top developing countries in developed. Africa. Yes. Developing. The top
like
Africa, we're still developing.
When you put it like, okay, we're still developing as a whole, but when you put it in an African context, we're just talking Africa.
Okay.
Kenya is one of the developed countries in Africa.
In Africa.
But when you're talking globally, it's one of the developing countries.
Okay, yeah, I guess you're right.
Because it's mid economy.
So I guess it's a beautiful country.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful country, and there's this question that I've been meaning to ask you. Just before I ask you, let me just give my thoughts on that. Kenya is like in the aspects of, you know, the economy, their people, their culture, it's just on point. it's everything I've always wanted in a country personally. Because like in Tizzy, the way you say it, life is a little bit slower, but I bet you it's faster than UG because of the economies and all that and all the other things that, you know, that come in mind when you think about the economy. But basically, yeah. So basically, Kenya is like, yo, it's like, I don't know how to put it, man. Like, you just gotta be here to experience it. You gotta be in Kenya. You gotta come in Kenya.
Exactly. That's why I tell people in Uganda, my friends, as like, guys, you have to actually come here and really know. Don't listen to what people are saying. Because I came, I thought I was coming to, I don't know, sadists or something. But then it is good.
It's a whole vibe.
Yeah, it's a whole vibe. Especially in Nairobi, it is really cool if you get to actually
tour them. Are you kidding me? Kenya is the best, man.
Yeah.
I feel like another thing that literally, you know, gravitates me towards, you know, loving Kenya is how free people, how liberated people are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't know, man. It's just so nice to me.
It's sweet. It's sweet to actually just go to a different place and then tour around and get to know how people actually do things.
Yeah. Differently from just the way you do them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just so nice. Even if they're worse than you guys, or they're not that good. There's something that is actually intriguing.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I guess I'm not negative about anything. Even if they tell me like going, okay, of course, personally, there are countries I wouldn't want to go to, or maybe the way of doing things, I don't like it. But then if I get a chance to go there, I would. I just want to know how things are. It's nice to adventure. Personally, I'm a person who likes going.
You love to travel. Wanderlust.
Exactly. Rush. That's actually one of my things.
We should like do maybe some travel, like travel thing.
I wouldn't mind at all.
Wow.
Anyway, I haven't.
For real? Mm-hmm. Don't just bullshit me because the mics are open.
No, actually, I'm honest, by the way.
You're open to that.
If you actually meet my friends, if you ask them about one thing I love to do, is I just love going out there. I love looking at things. I love touring. I just love adventure. So
So there's this plan that we're working on, me and my friend. Next year there's gonna be an election happening here in Kenya, right? And it can get really bad sometimes, you know. And it's not really advised for foreigners to be here while, you know, while the election is going on, right? So people are gonna go home basically. So we were like thinking to ourselves, why don't we like create a safe haven for people who don't want to go home but don't want to be in Kenya for that specific period of time? Because it's going to be like a month or so.
So where exactly are you planning?
We're planning to go to Tizi.
To Tizi?
Yeah, with a lot of people. Like maybe you just get a house, you know, and do some just a number of tours in the month, then come back after, you know, it's settled in Kenya.
That sounds exciting. I mean, of course I would want to.
Yeah.
Me, but then of course you have to have money. So
yeah, you gotta have money. It's why like we're doing it early. And one thing about travel, man, like you gotta save. You gotta plan very early. Especially for people who are not, like, you know, we're students. It's not like we're making money or something.
Yeah,
even if you are, you wouldn't like be making necessarily a big amount for you. You should just like wake up and like, I'm going to Dubai. Get ready now. You gotta save up, right?
Exactly.
So yeah, that's why we're like, you know, just talking about it earlier to different friends and different people to see who is interested, who is not. And, you know, just to budget things out earlier and people to start saving. So, yeah.
Okay.
I'll let you know if you're interested, man.
Yeah, I want to go to Zanzibar.
Can hit the road. Yeah, we're gonna definitely go to Zanzibar. Yeah.
Okay.
You love the beach. You love the beach.
Of course, who doesn't? I mean,
I've been stalking your Instagram, by the way.
Really?
Nice swimsuits.
Okay.
Nice swimsuits. Okay, the question that I want to ask you: your accent seems different. Your accent falls in the Southern African countries.
No. It doesn't.
It's not Ugandan. It's not Ugandan at all.
It depends what part of Uganda you come from, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. There are actually people who tell me that I really sound Ugandan, that actually Kenyans I've met, that you sound Ugandan.
They tell you sound Ugandan.
Exactly. So it depends on some people, how they can hear it. And it also depends on what part where you studied from, where you grew up from. Your local language affects how you speak your English. You know, but then there are people, if you put it into work, like you read books, you concentrate on things that actually can improve your English, you can actually be good, because there are people that actually have good English.
Yeah, English is good.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, it's better than a lot of Ugandans I've heard.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do people think Ugandans have bad accents?
They have bad English. We don't think. Mm-hmm. I know Ugandans have a terrible accent.
Really?
I know for a fact. You've,
you've just met the people who have bad accents.
No, like, I don't know how to put it. But I've had from a lot of Ugandans. A lot. I'm not just talking one name. No, not even here in Barra.
A lot. Did you go to Uganda?
No, I've had. Exactly. Okay, there's.
The ones you've met in Kenya.
Not in Kenya. Like, there's some. Okay, there's this gig that I normally do when I go back at home. Mm-hmm. And I normally teach high school kids, you know, about coding.
Okay.
Right. There's this college that I work for. So there's this mentorship program that we're having across East Africa and Central and Southern Africa sometimes. Okay. So you get teams from, you know, different countries and you get to mentor them and you hear how they talk, right? Mm-hmm. So I've had Ugandans, like, here I interact with Ugandans. One of my best friends is Ugandan, right? Mm-hmm. So I interact with Ugandans. I listen and I know how they speak. And these kids, they're speaking the same way. Like, I've had maybe like 2-3 groups from Uganda, right? And I've had them speak and they speak the same way. They speak the same way with the people that I know in Barra, but your English is different. Your accent is different, man. Like,
okay, I guess I could take the compliment, but you're right. You're right. It depends. The people at the schools you go to really affect on how you speak your English, on how you compose it, and then also one, your local language. It always affects how you speak your English. So basically, if you hear people from Western Uganda, most of them, the English, it differs from people who are actually from the central.
The east, the central?
Yes. The east, by the way, I think people from the east or north have better English in Uganda than the eastern part of Uganda. And northern. I feel like I like the English.
The eastern is close to Kenya.
Exactly.
It's by the border.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you're from the central part.
Yes.
Kampala, baby. Mm-hmm. City girl, what's up?
I mean, that's yeah,
that's where all things happen. Mm-hmm. You gotta be in Kampala to enjoy Uganda.
Yeah, I guess. But then in East, there's a place called Jinja.
Jinja.
It's also nice. I haven't really been there. I've been there, but I haven't toured.
What's happening in Jinja?
It's a nice tourist place, I think.
Do you get animals? Like, what's going on?
There are no animals.
you just keep talking, man. As you saw.
Okay. Sure. They're no animals as per se. They're just basically rivers, nice tourist places. But then in animals, I think the western part of Uganda.
There's just some beautiful scenery there.
Mm-hmm. The western part, there's some gorillas.
By the way, you have this unique type of gorillas that you guys have. Mm-hmm. They're called silverback. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah.
Well, unfortunately, I'm not so educated or informative about things in Uganda.
And it feels good to me, like, you know, to kind of like, you know, this podcast has literally helped me to you know different kind of things. And, you know, when I talk to people, I know different things, you know. Well, getting ready for, you know, an interview with someone, you know, you have to, like, you know, dig some things up about their country and, you know, get stuff talk about. So it has literally helped me to learn different mm-hmm. things from different countries. I remember this one time we were like chilling with my friends, right? Mm-hmm. I'm talking too fast, yeah? Anyways, I was trying to get to the point.
Okay.
This one time I was chilling with my friends. This is not even one time, it's just today in the morning, like, we're chilling. Then this guy asked one of our friends who is Nigerian. He asked, like, how many tribes do you have in Nigeria? Before he answered it, I was ready, like, out. So I told him they have over 600. And he was like, oh, so what's their population? And it's like over 300. So what's Kenyans? Like, their tribes are over 44. What's this? Like, they're just asking questions like, why the fuck does this guy know everything about everyone's country? I was like, yeah, it's the podcast, man. Been doing some research. So yeah, it feels good, like, to, you know, to get to know different things about different countries, and, you know, you literally, like, get to know Africa and the beauty of it. Because like, basically, I've never been to a lot of, you know, places around Africa, but getting to talk to people who have been in those places and, you know, live there, and they tell you about it, it's really fascinating, and you get to know it as if you've been there. For example, like, the question that I'm shooting right at you right now, I talked to one of a Ugandan, you know, in one of the episodes, and, you know, we talked about different things in Uganda, and he talked about the Baganda, Abaganda. Yeah, he talked about them and, you know, how you guys, you know, still live under your kings, you know, and all that, you know, you... Yes. It was just fascinating for me, you know, the 21st century, and you have this, people who are actually modernized, you know, they live in big cities, but still have this, you know, tribe thing going on. Like, what's up with it? Tell me about it. Tell me more about it.
I mean, my culture, basically, the people love their culture. We love our culture. We like how we do our things. I think it's what has made us the modernized people. I believe it is. Though, well, if we, a couple of Ugandans get to hear about this, when at the Baganda, they'll kind of feel like, ah, the Baganda are proud. They think they're the best. But basically, it's our tribe that has actually, like, the way we do our things, it's what has attracted people to us. Because now a number of people are now in central Uganda, which is the Buganda Kingdom.
So you guys started the place and now just different tribes.
It was the Buganda Kingdom just under kings. But then after the colonization and white people and all that, so they made us one. And you know, we're the ones like developing that fast. So of course people are drawn to Kampala. So now there are many people in Kampala. That's where everything is. That's where the life is. Out there, of course, the other parts of Uganda have that life as well. But then people are in Kampala. That's where everything is. And my language... It's one of the widely spoken languages in Uganda.
Basically, it's even the national language, yeah?
It's not officially the national language. People know it. It is the widely spoken language in Uganda. Basically, everyone knows it. But then it's hard for my tribe, Uganda, to speak another language. They can. I'm not saying they can't, but it's hard for them to speak.
So it's easy for other people to get to know, yeah, your language.
Yes, it's because then it's in the central.
Yeah.
So people speak
and a lot of people can, yeah, speak it.
Of course, when you go to Uganda, and the things people know about you, how Ugandans behave, it's our culture. It's our culture, but then people think it's Ugandans. That's how dominating it is. So we still have our culture. We still have our king. We say the Kabaka. So we
Kabaka
still,
Mutesa.
Oh yeah, that was the first was the first one.
That was the first one.
He was like the first president, the first ruler.
Who's the current one?
He's called Kabaka Ronald Mutebi.
Wow.
Second?
Yeah, like you even like know them. So it's literally like a big deal in Uganda. Mm. And people are loyal to him and
he has power. People can kill for him.
People can kill for him.
Well, technically right now, he doesn't really have power because we have our president.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's always been that... There's been that contention between the Baganda and their kings and the way they do things. We never let go of our culture. Though some things are trying to change, but then there's still ways of doing things. Yeah, so it's special though, because I kind of get, when I grew up, as I'm growing up, I'm getting to see the things that my culture does that I'm actually grateful for. The things like the respect, the way we do things, the way we do things in our home. It's really nice. It helps people. Then actually when you go out there and then you see how people do things and behave, it's not nice. So I believe our culture is nice in grooming people, how to be good people, how to behave, the kind of respect. And then many people are drawn to that. So that's why people will be like, Ugandans are this, but that's basically, that's the Baganda.
That's
like
the
this.
Baganda.
Yeah. So that's how dominating we are. It's just speaking facts here, though. Of course, if anyone else watches this, always Nizana Buganda will be like, "Hey, the Baganda are so proud of you. We are. Like, we know what we are and we have realized it." Yeah, so of course we have our weaknesses though, but then I'm proud to be one and I've realized it when I've grown up. At first, I used not to like it so much. I used to cannot hate, but then I kind of, why we do this? Why do we do? Why these things are so boring? But then I get to know, like, no, there's actually the beauty in doing these things. So, yeah.
So just to elaborate on that, what kind of things do you talk about when you say things? Because we're basically not Baganda, we're not Ugandans. We can't really know what you're talking about.
Okay, I think you've had this thing of how Ugandans are submissive to their husbands.
I know how you guys great, not even husbands, people who are just basically older than you.
Yeah, yes,
you
exactly.
Nail with both of you, of, yes, your, of your feet. Yes, exactly. You nail down.
Yes, that's our culture. That's how the Baganda do.
Why did you like Ugandan. Rip me like that though?
You're not older than
I'm older than you.
You are, okay, yeah. But then my elders, basically your parents, let me say elders of the church, pastors, anybody.
I think who's way older than you?
Yeah, there's like if it's at home, you go to a church, let me say the pastors, you see how all those teachers and all the
So everybody nails down to greet the pastor.
Yeah, as you're supposed to, yeah.
Like both of your knees have to kiss the ground. Wow.
Yes.
Also, you like your boyfriend?
No, boyfriend.
Your fiancé?
Well, I think they do it at the beginning of, there's an introduction ceremony that we do, the traditional wedding, sort of. So there's the
before they're married, before a couple is married.
Yeah, before a couple is married in church, there's traditional marriage.
Also, you do like three kind of celebrations.
Mm.
You do the traditional one, the church, and the modern one.
There's this one, actually. We call it Kuchala in my culture, basically. I guess all Ugandans do it. It's Kuchala, where the boyfriend has to visit the sister to your dad, Mrs. Senga, to ask you out. There are those initial family things that they have to talk about to see if
your boyfriend visits your aunt.
Mm-hmm. Before even...
And ask your aunt out.
No, like to ask...
Permission to marry ask me. You, to marry you.
Yeah. If you want to, like if he proposes to me, he's supposed to come to my aunt, which is a singer, to talk about. So the singer basically, I think she's to see if this guy you're is fit. Worthy of you, yes, if you're fit. And the family is not supposed to know about it, like your parents. It's something intimate. Though,
they're not
right
supposed
now,
to know about it.
Mm-mm.
So they're just going to spend because time. Your aunt and your boyfriend, they're going to spend time together in the house.
You'll be there, of course. The guy comes with one friend, I guess. Then as a girl, maybe you come with other aunties. It's something like small.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's something they talk about. Basically, it's intimate. But now, I guess it's not so intimate because of our way how modern things. So basically, if you see it, it will be like a wedding almost. So, but initially, it's supposed to be that secretive, whereby you have to like get permission from the singer, like your dad's aunt as a girl, to see if you're worthy of marriage. So I think she can say no. Though even if right now, I think you can. You can continue, but then there's that thing that happens. Then after that, then if all goes well, then there's the introduction ceremony where you introduce your boy to the
tribe,
to the parents, to your parents. Yes. So the guys, people on the guy side, they come. You all have to come with your family. You come meet my family. So I'm basically introducing you to my family. Then after, you go to church to swear before.
That
God.
Is before engagement or after.
Oh, engagement, like this thing of asking you your hand in marriage, literally, because engagement I think is like almost traditional marriage between traditional marriage and the kuchala, as we call it, those first two steps. I think they are you engaged.
Oh, yeah.
But then I guess you basically, I think back in the day they would kind of stop at traditional.
Yeah,
because you've introduced you
to your family.
Says that now just, because the Christianity entered, you have to go before God, and you know, because as a Christian, if you're a Christian, you would actually go before God. And so those are the three functions we do, basically.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a lot, and then there are a lot of, I think
there are a lot of what?
There are other deep things that I can't actually really talk about.
Why wouldn't you want to talk about them?
It's so deep. It's something, how should I say? It's not something you really say out. Yeah, basically, as my tribe.
Why wouldn't you say that?
I wouldn't.
Out?
It's just like, that's how my culture is.
Help me understand here. You said you're proud of your tribe, right?
Exactly.
You used not to be, but now you're proud of it.
Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, help me understand how proud you are of your tribe, you know, by telling me how your tribe is. So I feel like there's some things that you literally like don't want to talk about, and I feel like they might be of help to, you know, people who are listening, or just like to build perspective and I literally understand.
I'll tell you the basics, what you need to know.
Okay, we get what we get. Okay,
exactly. There's a respect, like how I say, being submissive. Yeah. There's a way I'm supposed to behave as a girl who's a Mugandan. Is why I have to do things. Exactly. So I won't really baby mention. You have to actually be there and see it.
Yeah.
If you come to my home when I'm with my parents or anything, like anywhere else in a Ugandan home, in a like propaganda, you actually have to see it for yourself. I can't really detail, give you all the details.
Yeah,
you have to actually see it.
Let me try and build a situation for you. Mm-hmm. In Tizi, there's this tribe. I don't really remember the tribe, but basically just a lot of tribes. And there are certain tribes in a place called Tanga, right? They have this tendency of girls that are taught how to handle a man when they're young. They're taken to a place called Jandoni. So they're taught, how to handle your man, how to do this, how to do this. They'll even cook bath and water for you. Mm-hmm. Cooked bath and water. They'll cook it for you. So, like, certain type of, norms and, traditional things that go on in those tribes. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's weird to say them out loud because, everybody knows them.
Okay.
And they help, build perspective and really understand what's going on with certain girls of certain tribes, with mm-hmm. certain boys of certain tribes.
It's kind of a lot, though. That's what I'm saying. I can't really do. It's you have to see it.
You have to be there and see
it. You have to experience it. There's no way I can actually.
And you guys wear you have this traditional outfit that you wear, mm-hmm. and somebody can tell that's a Baganda from a mm-hmm. distance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you still wear it to date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have one of your own?
No, unfortunately, I don't. Wow. I did. Why? So, but then
what happened?
It kind of it's not fitting anymore.
And you don't want to get another one?
I would, but then where to wear it from? I don't just wear it all the time. I can't wear it here. Basically, people wear it at introduction ceremonies or if there's kind of function where they tell you to wear gomesis.
Yeah, a gomes. Yes,
it's called a gomesi, yes.
Gomesi.
Mm.
Wow.
Yes.
Do you guys also wear a gomesi?
Hmm.
Can you bring me one?
From Uganda?
Yeah.
I guess, but how will you wear it?
I'll just fucking wear it. I don't care. I'll just wear it.
As a man, you're supposed to wear a kanzu.
Kanzu.
It, yeah.
Yeah, just get me something that a man wears.
Okay, I can. It's not hard.
It's not hard?
Mm-hmm.
Do you promise on the podcast?
Yeah.
You're going to get me one?
I will. I'll look for one.
I'm going to hold you down to that one, mate.
Yes. Sure.
Okay. It was nice talking to you. We get into the end of the episode. It was really nice to hear,
okay,
things about hosting. Uganda and the way you highly talked about your tribe, mm-hmm. the way you liked Kenya. I think we have a lot of things in common. You breathe, mm-hmm. I breathe, you see, I see. Yeah. We have a lot in common.
Okay, that's good to know.
Anyways, if you have any last words before we wrap up the episode.
Last words for people.
Yeah. Just any last words. Maybe you want to do one more comment about Kenya. You want to do one more comment about your tribe, about Uganda. Or you want to do one more comment about me. I don't mind. Come on. Shoot them compliments. Keep them coming.
Okay. I think people, if you're listening, you should give yourself a chance to go out there. If you have the chance, please use it. Go out and adventure. See what the world has to offer. Yeah, don't limit yourself. Don't have that negative attitude where people tell you about this. No, you have to prove it for yourself. So you have to experience what the world has to offer. So it's beautiful out there. I got to experience, even if it's just Kenya, just here, you could see a difference. There is a difference. So if you have an opportunity, just go out there. Just go visit places. And and then another thing is that just God. You need God in your life. So he's above everything else. So with a lot happening, so we all need God. So I encourage you to do so. And I want to thank Jason. I call you Jason. Is it okay? Jason. Joseph.
It's okay,
For having me on his podcast. I really like what you're doing. It's something unique. It's not something easy. I wouldn't believe someone is actually doing a podcast, especially how critical it seems a bit difficult to get people, to get topics, to get views. I hope you get all the support that you need.
We're trying. I can't complain. Getting a lot of love.
This is a start. I can see something great. So
this is episode 30. I don't know if you can call it a start, but we've been live since March this year. Yeah.
I'm happy about this. This is really nice. Getting to know people, doing something year of yourself. So I wish you all the best. So I hope
thank
this
you.
Goes well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And how did you feel? How did you feel about, you know, being on the podcast for the first time?
It's good. It's a good feeling.
It's a good feeling. Thanks. So this was episode number 40, and this is Jaso. We're signing out, and we had Tracy today. And as you know, in this podcast, we talk about travel and living abroad. And the two of us are experts. I'm an expert from Tanzania living in Kenya. She's an expert from Uganda living in Kenya at the moment. And we're going to see you guys in the next episode. Ciao.
Okay.